May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The gospel text for this fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, as we are completing this first month of January in 2018, is found in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, reading through verse 28. The first miracle recorded for us by Mark. Interesting, if you go through and look at what the miracles are that are recorded by Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke and John, tend to think about the miracle at the wedding of Cana, where he turned the water into wine. But Mark chose something much more unique, the healing of a man with an unclean spirit, as it's termed in Scripture. So Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21, following, I would read in the name of the Lord. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There was in that synagogue a man with unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had come out, he cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? And with what authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him?" And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee. Amen. You know, as we consider ancient examples in Scripture, things that were recorded by the gospel writers, we use the lens of our 21st century knowledge and medical perspective to try and understand what's taking place. And yet to understand the authority of Jesus Christ to heal the leper, to raise the one who was crippled with palsy, and even here to command an unclean spirit to come out of a man who had been ill with it. But the people are amazed. I think that's really the first focus we have in our text this morning. What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. And so when things like this are happening, the word spreads. The word goes out. Something is happening here that is out of the normal course of events. A lot of disconnect and detail in most of the examples given of his miracles or of his healing. So we try and fill the gap with what we might think is a current understanding or perspective regarding illness, regarding mental illness, regarding psychiatric disorders, and all of the above in this particular example. You see, the teachers of the law didn't speak with their own authority. Most often, they preface their comments with something like, "There is a saying," that goes back in the history of their rabbinical teaching. Or Rabbi such and such said the following. Or even the prophets attributed their pronouncements to, "Thus saith the Lord." If you go back to the Old Testament, "Thus saith the Lord," "Thus said the Lord." What did just Jesus himself say? He simply said, "I say to you." Because why? Well, he's the Son of God, right? God incarnate. And so he has that authority, and he speaks with authority, and people recognize it as that. Not in the name of another, not in the name of an earlier teacher or an earlier rabbi. Even this alone was amazing to them. But if that was not amazing enough, he demonstrates his authority when he tells the evil spirit what to do, and it obeys. You see, Jesus was authorized, given the responsibility for the following. He was commissioned to do the following. In naval practices, in the U.S. Navy and all foreign navies, when a ship is commissioned, it has a very specific purpose within a battle group or within that particular naval organization. An aircraft carrier doesn't have the same responsibility as a destroyer or a cruiser or a frigate or whatever it happens to be. There's a very special responsibility that they are commissioned to do. Jesus Christ was commissioned, authorized, speaking with authority by his Father to come to bring salvation to fallen humankind. You know, in Jesus' day, evil spirits were considered to be numerous, were considered to be powerful, and oftentimes something was attributed to them because they didn't understand what was taking place. They'd have the medical perspective that we have today. And so they're hanging around, doing what they can do to, what, inflict trouble, cause suffering for people. And the Jewish people of that time, or even pagans of that time, uses rites and spells to compel what they saw as a demon to leave. The power was in the magic, as they said. And whoever had the right ingredients and methods could use them to bring about the unseen condition that would manipulate this spiritual conflict. But Jesus was different. As we know, as we've already considered, as we've considered over the course of our lives, the course of our journey of faith. What happened here? Well, the possessed man, as we would call it, disrupted the meeting. Jesus didn't argue. He didn't have a conversation, a give and take. He simply ordered it to leave, and it left. The people of the synagogue hadn't seen anything like this. Who could have such authority where even evil spirits obey the straightforward word? You know, psychiatry particularly is thought of being an area of medicine where something like this might be encountered. There were, I believe, 6 times in the New Testament where a spirit was commanded to leave. And perhaps it was psychiatric disorder. We haven't separated that, have we? How do you separate that? Because we don't have, or they didn't have, perspective saying this is a spiritual problem versus this being a psychiatric problem. And today the differential diagnosis, as they call it, of psychiatric illnesses is quite wide. In biblical cases, perhaps the loss of sight or hearing or epilepsy, or any of a number of particular illnesses could have been due to a neurological diagnosis or perhaps multiple personality disorder. We don't know. We don't know. We can only speculate. But regardless, I think the important point is that Jesus Christ was authorized and removes the spiritual problem from this man that he might depart. How many people do we see walking down Washington Street in Phoenix, pushing a shopping cart, all their life's possessions in that shopping cart, talking to themselves or talking to some unseen person, schizophrenia? Some of these psychiatric disorders today may have to do with environmental stress, psychological, biological vulnerability, social deprivation. Might not be an evil spirit. I think particularly frustrating to people that pursue that as a career, in their career, is being able to assist that person, get the right medication so they can become functioning in our culture, in our time. But there's a danger that we look for evil spirits among those that are psychiatrically ill. Don't have a basis for it. That's found in the Gospels. But they're, as we might say, psychotic, behaving, speaking, and thinking in ways that are very difficult for us to understand. We find the behavior and the speech and the thoughts of these people perhaps frightening because of what they might due to us or due to others, as we see the mass problems we've had in our nation with shooting because of people that are, in some regard, mentally ill. But we need to be informed, understand the findings and the limits. And so when we can offer rational scientific explanations and treatment, we do that where they exist. What's important that we need to be there available for spiritual healing. Spiritual healing. Show love and comfort and concern and care for patients that are ill in whatever that particular aspect is. Jesus showed compassion for those who were stigmatized by physical illness. Leprosy comes to mind. Very disfiguring. You know, you would want to be holding hands or walking with someone who has leprosy. They walked a distance apart, so people knew that that's what they were dealing with. And so we also need to recognize that not all human problems are explicable medical science. Jesus has commissioned us to drive out the demons of sin through the application of the gospel to those that would repent and want to change and move forward in their lives. We recognize that all of these disorders may not come strictly from psychiatric issues, but also spiritual factors that can play a part. For example, people that are bereaved may become depressed, or they may become a physical manifestation of their struggle with that change. We must keep in mind that the human condition is oftentimes very fragile. It can hang by a thread. Don't push someone over the edge, but pull them in. If they're in need, be an assist, rather than becoming a roadblock. But we also acknowledge, as Christians today, and the church needs to acknowledge as Christians today, there are powerful forces beyond our own understanding. Just the awareness of it is important. So Jesus, the Son of God, has all authority in this world. Even as we read of it here, where he had this authority, in the synagogue, as he was teaching, because the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Making that differentiation between the scribes and their teaching, and Jesus Christ and what he presents. The man with an unclean spirit cries out. It's important for us to recognize when someone is in need and they cry out that we should be there to help them with that need, whatever that happens to be. We'll come across them in our lives, won't we? We have come across them in our lives, haven't we? A variety of needs, from the physical to the spirit to spiritual to the emotional and to health. We all go through times of need, of different situations, different perspectives. We are appreciative when other Christians are there to help us work our way through them. The unclean spirit that is spoken of here said, "Let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." There was a recognition that there is this battle between the good and bad. That which is right and that which is wrong. Sometimes I think in cinematic endeavors today, it's part of the intrigue where they present something that looks apparently good but is actually has an undercurrent of bad. It used to be the good guy wore the white hat, right? The old westerns. Bad guy came into town wearing the black hat. The good guy wore the white hat. The sheriff that cleaned out the town of those which were wanting to do harm to the populace. Recognize there is this battle. Battle for the souls and the hearts of men. And what's winning, or who's winning? Well, ultimately, we know who will win. Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ has overcome on behalf of all that would believe and will return. But there's this presentation by even the evil spirit that Jesus Christ is the Holy One of God. And Jesus simply says, hold thy peace and come out of him. The authority. So even these spirits that are evil, they recognize they are subject to him. How do we use our authority? Think in our culture or in our 21st century world, people try to use their authority and spread it beyond that which they really are responsible for. What did Shakespeare write? Man, proud man, dressed in a little brief authority. It's really what it is a little brief authority in our time. Jesus used his incomparable, eternal authority in a way that oftentimes stands in contrast with the human small sprig of authority. Most human authority means the means of enriching oneself, of getting one's own way. How's this? Of suppressing the truth, of holding on to power to keep things going their way. We witness it in the parade of time that we have today, the parade of history of totalitarian regimes, of someone who says, I can only solve this problem, of corporate behaviors, of government scandals, of ecclesiastical scandals, of tyrannical parents, of bosses, of teachers, and the like. Not so with Jesus. He has, and he had, all authority. And so he uses incomparable authority in a very positive way. Not just in the text we have with this spirit that he confronts or that he removes, but he took action when necessary. He didn't stifle normal living, did he? By trying to prevent all possibility of something going wrong. We tend to do that with our children, trying to prevent things from going wrong. Sometimes, as we've all been said, we have to learn from our own actions. He didn't post sentries at the doors to keep all people that looked wrong from coming in. He just simply dealt with the problem decisively when it arose. Some could have been at the door and said, this man is a lunatic. There's something wrong with him. He should come in and he's going to be disruptive. That didn't happen. He was able, on the authority of Jesus Christ, to win over the evil spirit and to be brought to, as we might say, his right mind. That's like saying Jesus didn't overreact. Didn't overreact. How do we react when there's a problem? Sometimes we might more hastily make a decision or make a move. Some people say, you're going to make a Broadway production out of that, aren't you? Jesus didn't overreact. He just made it go. He's made the evil spirit go. And also, he didn't brag about it. To me, that's one of the key issues that we struggle with in our time, where people like to brag about whatever they're doing or how they did it or what they think. He didn't use the incident to further his image. It simply spoke for itself. He didn't bill himself as the one who tossed out the evil spirit, did he? And thus Jesus uses his authority to serve. It tells in the scripture he has all authority. He didn't ask to be served. He simply served others. And I think that's a good example to us. We should use whatever authority we might have, whether it's at home, or at work, or in our community, and use it to help others, not to make ourselves into big shots. There you go. Think about that for a moment. Elevating oneself to a position that is not to be given or to be taken. Later in Mark's gospel, Jesus explains to his disciples like this. Know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentile lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whosoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave to all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark chapter 10. And to give his life as a ransom for many, of which we are the many at this very moment. In many respects, we recognize that the human existence is perilous. Can hang on a thread. Read about how many people have perished through flu season this year, which is incredible to me. And, 2018, to have 30 people having died from the flu this year. That's a pretty big number when you think about it. Human existence is perilous. We see illness. We understand long-term illness. We try to avoid it. We do whatever we can to get well and not pass it on to somebody. We're contagious. We avoid others. But what a difference it makes when the authority we're subject to, Jesus Christ, is a blessing rather than a curse. What does it tell us in Proverbs chapter 29? When the wicked rule, the people groan. When authority is used to help, not to overpower, then those under it can rejoice. So how does Jesus serve us? How are we served today? He serves us patiently. He serves us graciously. He serves us mercifully. Helping us to grow in our understanding, growing in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Sin is a cruel, harsh, manipulative, and unforgiving taskmaster. What's the contrast? Cruel, harsh, manipulative, and unforgiving. Jesus is compassionate, gracious, patient, loving, and merciful. And so the authority of sin is what? It's fraudulent. It's fraudulent. Recognize the fraud and call it out. That's part of the authority that Jesus Christ gives the church, to say that's just not true. That's fraudulent. Because the authority of Jesus Christ is absolute and it's positive. It's a drawing, it's a compelling, it pulls in rather than pushes away. Opens the door rather than shuts the door. So when it comes to Jesus' authority in our lives, how do you think he uses it? He uses it to help us work through the rough patches, the rapids, the difficulties. Many of us live as though we think that Jesus uses his authority to lord over us. That's legalism. He doesn't use his authority to lord over us. His love is not conditioned on how well we behave. We might feel discouraged or fearful that God no longer loves us when we fail to measure up to what we think is the right measure of obedience. The authority of Scripture, the guidance of the Spirit, Jesus Christ himself uses his authority to help us. And evil spirits are not only the kind of negative things that Jesus has authority over us, over and drives out from us, because sin is the major thing that we struggle with. Sin itself is an enemy that does us damage. and lords itself over us. But so also are our fears and our doubts. There are times when we're considering what has gone wrong and why it went wrong and how are we going to deal with it the next day at work or at school or within our family or whatever that particular venue is. And so those sins and fears will start a commotion within our emotional makeup. We need to give them over to Him, because He was the one who knows and provides the ability for us to handle them. Thus we take them to the Lord in prayer, in thought, and trust Him who knows what to do. So maybe the question for all of us this morning, individually, is what's our enemy, what's the low fence in our lives? You know, we build fences to try and keep people out or to keep movement from one side to the other, but a low fence is where something can jump over it. When they built the hedges around the sheep and the sheepfold, it was tall enough and wide enough that those who would want to cause harm could not go over or go through. What habit? What sin? What fear? What saps your energy and what saps your courage? Is there something that's beating you down daily? Whatever it is, it cannot withstand the authority of Jesus Christ. Thus we give the battles to Him, because the complexity of the war changes. The idea is to keep the enemy on the run rather than keeping it at our door. And Jesus, it's intended for us to be bold and to be strong. Whether it be bullying or fast-talking fears or sinful habits, recognize it cannot stand the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus continued to minister in Capernaum, around the Sea of Galilee. What does it tell us in verse 27? They were all amazed. They hadn't seen it like that. What thing is this? What new doctrine or teaching is this? With what authority he commanded even the unclean spirits and they do obey him? It was completely different from what they had seen and what they had heard. It wasn't attributed to Rabbi such and such. It wasn't, thus saith the scribes. It was the authority that God had given to Jesus Christ in His ministry as it now begins in the Gospel of Mark. In a harmonizing of Scripture, there also is a harmonizing of when these miracles took place. Sometimes interesting to go back and look at the miracles that are cataloged by Matthew versus that which are cataloged by Mark or by Luke or by John. The result of this particular miracle that is recorded by Mark is in the conclusion in verse 28. And immediately, word his fame spread his fame spread abroad throughout all the regions round about Galilee. Immediately. It wasn't, well, we'll tell somebody next week or next month or in a couple days. People left the gathering in that synagogue, and immediately the word of what he had done on behalf of this man under the authority of God the Father spread around. And so people now started bringing their sick and their ill to him, because, you know, medical practice wasn't what it was in those days as it is today. And thus we go back to where we started. Ancient example. A lot of speculation at what took place or what this was actually about. But we use the lens of our 21st century knowledge and perspective to speculate. Makes for good discussion, doesn't it? But I think the recognition is that Jesus Christ had the authority, had the power, removed the evil spirit. The man was returned to his health, even as he did in the example of the paralytic, even as he did with those with leprosy, even as he did with those who cannot see. He did the right thing. That's the right thing to do. So maybe that's the example to all of us today. When in situations we're confronted by, we have to step back and maybe say, what's the right thing to do? What should I do in this situation? What's the right thing? And his disciples learned from these examples, even as we are given the ability to learn today. Human existence, perilous, conflicts going to be there. Need to break these old boundaries and move forward in this year under the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we conclude and depart, we ask your presence with us by your Spirit, that we might do that what is right, reject the wrong, uphold the infirm, lift the hands that hang down, straighten the feeble knees, assist as we are compelled and given authority under Jesus Christ to do. Now unto him is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, and him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.